The Morning Brew Podcast with Jaffe and Razor, sponsored by Berkshire Bank Home Lending, where you borrow matters. There's no place like home, right? There's no place like home, at least in this series between the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes. As we welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, presented by Berkshire Bank. And this episode of Morning Brew is also made possible by Fazenda Coffee, Bay State Brewing, and Tresca in the North End. Razor, how was that one to watch, buddy? You were with the Mace Man. Was Deck with you too or no on the couch watching?
We had the crew. Yeah, we had the crew. Mace was late. Mace had soccer tonight, so he missed the first period and a half. So I had the twins with me. It was good. There's no place like home. It's amazing how the puck luck has gone for the home team.
I know.
I mean, the Bruins should have been down 1-0. That they missed that call. That cover up was so egregious.
Yeah.
Swayman wasn't even close to covering that puck up, and he knew it. And a couple of the posts, and it's just amazing. And again, the Bruins, the Carolinas had all of that in their building. It's really been not so much. It's just amazing how the puck luck's gone. It's crazy.
So each team is now 3-0 at their home rinks, which leads to, of course, a question of, can a team win on the road in this series? Carolina doesn't need to worry about it. The Bruins do. The Bruins knew all along that they would have to win at least one game on the road if they were going to be victorious in this best of seven. So instead of waiting, 28 to 30 minutes into it to get your answer on that, I'm just going to ask you right now, from what you've seen, from what you know, and from what you, and also I'll say we, from what we feel, because those are three different things, see, know, and feel. Can the Bruins win in game seven in Raleigh?
Yeah, they can, because at some point the pressure's all on Carolina now. Mm-hmm. They've blown this series three times, basically. They're the favorite. They are the ones that were supposed to find a way, and They've lost that three times. And like I just said, that puck luck had, like, one goal has to go in for the visiting team over seven games where it goes off a leg, not just the home team. So it feels as though the Bruins will find a way to do that. I think they'll find a way to win. I do. Just like I felt like they were going to find a way to win tonight.
Yeah. Excuse me. I didn't go into this game as despaired as I have some other games. I went into this game kind of calm. I think something of it had to do with having Hampus Lindholm back, adding that element to it. I liked the lineup decision by Bruce Cassidy to keep Mike Riley in the lineup. I liked the opportunity to bring Frederick in. I wasn't sure, but I said, I get why he's doing it. We said on this, and we get why he's doing it. You go back to not just what you know, but what you trusted for a while. Even though it started at the beginning of the series, not that effective. The last 2 months, let's say 2 to 3 months, a lot of times these lines led you guys to a victory. And I think,
and familiarity. You put it back on the players, right?
Right.
You put it on the players. And that's a lot of times, that's the best coaching decision. A lot of times these guys can overthink it. At the end of the day, when push comes, you put it on the players.
Yeah, here you go. Like you're saying, like, here you go. This is what you feel you need. I don't know if it helped anybody more than Taylor Hall and Eric Halla having Pastrnak back there. I think having the big boy, Bruce did discuss it in the post-game presser about how, they've tried other guys there. Didn't really seem to work for some reason. Oh, because Past is an all-world player, it works. I also think it's an ego thing. I think they need to see a guy like that with them. And I don't mean that ego like they've got, it just makes them feel good. And sometimes it's like anybody else going to work. You got to feel freaking good about yourself sometimes. And I think it made him feel real good.
Yeah. And it's, listen, it's, he put Pastrnak with Marchand and Bergeron to feel the same way. So, yeah. So anyone who thinks that it's a Holland, it's in any of these NHL players thing.
Yeah.
Again, he moved those guys up to get Bergeron and Marchand going. So you move them down to get Hall and Holla going. It's not, it isn't, it shouldn't be a slight on those guys when you say that, because that's what David's moved around the lineup for, is to get other people going. And he had to do that with two of the best that's ever played in Bergeron and Marchand earlier in the series.
In the post game as well for Carolina, their head coach, Rod Brind'Amour, he had nothing really to bitch about officiating wise in this game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying a couple of the calls weren't.
They're always shit. They're horrible. Every night's horrible. Game's horrible. It's a joke. I watched Tampa Toronto. Same thing.
Was it bad in that game?
Toronto got a 5-on-3 against them. Phantom high stake. Like it's.
All right. But he didn't have anything to gripe about there per se. Mm-hmm. Maybe the quick whistle, but at least that's not a penalty. And yeah. I agree with you. When I watched that, I thought for sure that I actually said, I think they're going to review this. But as we saw the replay, the official, and I believe it was Trevor Hanson, had already blown the whistle.
Yeah.
He just didn't see it. Yeah. He didn't see it. Okay. But I felt that Rod was more, I felt like this game he was disappointed. I did. Felt like he was disappointed. No, I might be overreading it with some black and gold tint here. Maybe not. I also thought when I listened to Jordan Staal, who had that hockey player hat backwards, kind of monotone thing at the press conference up on the dais. But he seemed, now maybe it was just because he was tired at the end of the game and he didn't want to be up there, Razor, but he seemed down. He seemed really down talking about, you know, he's like, and he's like, yeah, we don't play, you know, we did not play well. And, you know, I thought, and I said this on pregame too, bud, you know, this is the type of game where the Carolina Hurricanes almost need to win to prove that that whole little brother, big brother thing, that they are the type of team that they think that they are, that they say that they are. Those kind of teams win that game. And the fact that they didn't, and they played well, I thought their start was actually pretty good again, Razor. I thought they did some good things early on. But overall, once the Bruins got going, they did not respond well. And the Bruins, give them credit, they did their thing. Carolina didn't.
No, they didn't. They didn't. And, you know, not you leave it to chance, and they're going to, you know, I'm sure the Bruins, you know, you saw McAvoy's interview after the game 5, and he looked pretty down and horrible. And, you know, so they'll get over it. They'll be badder, you know, when they get home. But yeah, that was one where I'm sure they were thinking the same way on some level, where, you know, we can put these guys away. We don't leave anything to chance, because that's game 7 now is, you know, you're rolling the dice at this point.
Let's roll through the game like we like to do quickly here. And then before we talk about a few things on this morning brew with Jaffe and Razor. So it's no score for the first time in this series, Razor. We have no scoring in the first period. Albeit again, there was an overturn or a no goal on the quick whistle, not even dead in the head, just play was dead. So we go to the second period. In the second period, just 40 seconds in, there's a really nice play by Connor Clifton, who gets the puck inside of his own blue line, does a little nice quick turn up the ice, brings it, you know, the puck's on his forehand. Even though he's a righty, he's on the left side. He had come over to the left side. He turns up, and he finds Brad Marchand just kind of hovering just about, 8 to 10 feet outside the blue line, maybe 6 to 8 feet outside the Carolina blue line on the right wing side. So there's a gorgeous stretch pass, cross ice stretch pass. Marchand picks it up in stride. He turns to the forehand, picks it up and strides in. And just from about 2 feet outside of the right faceoff dot, unleashes that shot that we haven't seen a ton of that this year for him, but that was an absolute BB. I mean, that was a P in the top of the corner of the short side on Antti Raanta. Slavin does the defender who was coming over. There was a little pick, a subtle pick in the neutral zone as Carolina was in the midst of a change. And I think if it was a Bruin play, would you agree we would say maybe not a great change in that regard? Carolina's player, I don't remember who it was trying to change, gets off the ice. And then Marchand gets enough ice. He gets off a bullet of a shot that beats Ront the short side. Slavin didn't even go all the way over to use his stick to close on Marchand because I firmly believe he thought Ront would make that save and Slavin was protecting against a cross-ice pass to the middle of the ice.
Yeah, you're giving the goalie that shot, and it was the first time. I'm trying to remember. I don't think Ronta's been beaten clean through the series.
I'd agree with you. Yeah.
That was the first time he had been beaten clean. He was really good again tonight. I mean, it could have been 5-6. That save he made on Pasta, holy smoke.
Yeah.
Third was made a few saves on Bergeron, but that one he'd probably like to have back at that point in the game when we've been all over timely saves every night of this series, certainly after game five. And that was one of those ones where you'd like to, as a goalie, make that save on Brad, as good as the shot was. I'm sure Slavin expected him to make that shot, like you said.
Yeah, I thought so too. So the Bruins go up 1-0. A wonderful
big goal, massive goal, right?
Like, huge goal.
Yeah, place went down tonight.
Place went nuts, man. Just nuts. And Marchand with that strong but yet subtle shot, Selly after the shot. He, you know, the release came from, yeah, it was maybe even 4 feet outside the dot. Now he's a lefty, so the puck is probably, oh, just around the one of the face-off lines, you know, where he releases it. But what a beautiful shot. Just fantastic. 46 seconds and Bruins up 1-0. You have to go near the end of the period for the Bruins to extend the lead. They get on the power play, and Charlie Coyle ends up finding the puck in the mid-slot area after Hampus Lindholm, getting that second unit power play time raiser, comes down the wall from the right side, corrals the puck, and we kept thinking, shoot or move it. Everybody is, and he waits, and he waited, and he waited, and then he makes a pass. You know, he ends up making a pass over to the other side, and ends up being geez, who was it? Was it Marchand that gets it or pass? I don't remember. All I remember is I'm blanking right now. But if Lindholm just kind of barfed the puck up and did something with it, that play doesn't happen. But his patience coming down the right sidewall and then his cross seam pass lets things go. And then Pastrnak ends up taking a shot that it caroms off of somebody in front of the net. And there was Charlie Coyle spinning away from Sebastian Aho, who was quickly trying to recover from being one of the Carolina players that had gone at Hampus Lindholm on the right side. Did you see that little subtle play that Aho did to the back of the leg of Charlie Coyle? He did the old, I'm going to chop you in the low part of the leg where it throws you off and you almost go backwards like that. Coyle stumbles and he regains his footing at that last second, showing some great strength. And then he swats the puck in. Antti Raanta with no chance on that power play goal.
No, none there. That was fortunate. Again, one of those plays that, again, the Bruins just haven't had that happen on the road in Carolina, and their defense hasn't had that happen in the Garden. So it goes right on the stick of Coyle. A good battle in front.
Sebastian Aho, I beg your pardon, Andrei Svechnikov early in the third period, 3.5 minutes in, Razor ends up scoring a gorgeous goal after Jarvis makes a nice play from the right side, coming into the zone, transitional opportunity. Svechnikov gets it in the mid-left slot, and he roofs one past Jeremy Swayman, a wrist shot, make it 2-1, and it's pucker time a bit at TD Garden. You could feel the puckering going on because of, oh, no, here come the Canes, the number three team in the NHL in the regular season for goals for in the third period. So it's 2-1 at 3:24. But then perhaps the biggest goal of the game, as big as Marchand's was, this would be equally as big. Eric Haula at the 7:08 mark after a gorgeous play, both by Mike Riley originally to keep the puck alive along the left wing wall after his pinch, and then he recycles back up to the point. And then there's an interchange with Charlie McAvoy, who the previous shift had gotten his left arm shoulder caught in a bit of a funny spot, a dangerous spot from a hit from Kotkaniemi. He then comes in and makes a gorgeous pass to a Haula, who tips it in, who makes it a 3-1 game. I mean, that right there, the place just going ballistic, Razor.
Great assist, and it was nice to see Charlie being able to jump in offensively so much more with Lindholm back in the lineup. You know, he just so much more effective when he's able to be out there with Lindholm and jump in the rush, and just a great look to Holla.
That goal right there, and you could tell by Holla's celebration, meant a lot. He has fun with his sellies. Charlie McAvoy, a breath of a sigh of relief, so to speak. Everybody took a deep breath after they saw him wincing in what appeared significant pain on the bench. After that hit, comes back out and makes a big difference. But the mobility at the blue line, huge there, again, with Riley and with McAvoy doing a little swizzle or an interchange up top that led to then the play. Derek Forbert scores a goal from deep on the left point at the 10:43 mark. It was deflected off of a Carolina player on the way in. 4-1, though, the result of a hell of a shift by the fourth line. Nosek with the only assist there. And then Curtis Lazar gets an empty net goal at the 15:43 mark. From about what the almost the red line or so, as the Rod Brind'Amour and the Canes pull their goaltender early in the game to try and get something going. But that made it 5-1. Really thrilled to see him get rewarded for that, just like Derek Forbert getting rewarded. We'll touch on the PK in a moment. And then Andrei Svechnikov finishes the scoring at the 17:30 mark with a power play goal. 5-2, though, the final. A couple of other quick numbers. 34-25 were the shots in the game. The Canes were 1-for-6. The Bruins 1-for-3 on the power play. Hits 42 in favor, 42-34 in favor of Carolina. Bruins are doing a nice job. 10 takeaways to 6. And I think that's important, Razor, because of the way that the Bruins at times defended in the neutral zone. And they kind of did the old above the puck reload well, just like Carolina did in game 5. Let's take a moment to thank our sponsors here, and then I got a couple of questions for Razor on this morning brew with Jaffe and Razor. Razor, could you use a coffee right now? Are you tired? Could you use a little jolt of something, my friend?
Big time.
All right.
I've already been sleeping, so yeah.
Yeah, you fell asleep. I figured as much, buddy. Yeah. You're a gamer right now, though. You are dedicated to your craft. So if
just
you could
like
use
Fazenda.
Get a Fazenda. Exactly. I know you'd go for one of their snap chilled right now, probably to wake you up. You might need one tomorrow morning, as will I. The morning comes soon. Fazenda Coffee, fazendacoffee.com is a place to go to get not only get a morning brew mug, but you know what? To get some freaking fantastic coffee. Try their Guatemala, try their Mexico, their Costa Rica blend. Whatever, whole bean, ground, fazendacoffee.com is where to go to check it out. And if you want some awesome coffee, they've got it. If you order $45 or more and use the code fazendacoffee.com/morningbrew or the URL, you can get yourself a morning brew mug complimentary with your order. Again, go to fazendacoffee.com/morningbrew. Order your coffee, spend $45 or more, and a free mug, I'll pick mine up, I'm drinking out of it right now, will be on its way to you. And if you happen to be in Worcester, go, what's the opposite of a good coffee? How about a great beer? Go check out Bay State Brewing. If you go to 112 Harding Street in the Canal District, just 2 blocks from the WooSox new ballpark, you can go to Bay State Brewing. You can get fantastic food, smash burgers, buffalo chicken, salads, pizzas, etc. And to go with that, nothing better than a delectable, distinctive, handcrafted beer. A Maybach, a German Hefeweizen. They've got the Mike Lights. They've got so many different IPAs and double IPAs. Becky Likes the Smell is my favorite one there. Go check them out. 112 Harding Street in Worcester. That's Bay State Brewing. Go to baystatebrewing.com. And if you go there, tell them the guys from Morning Brew sent you. Speaking of telling guys that they sent you, go to Tresca in the North. And that's our other sponsor on this show. TrescaNorthEnd.com is where you can go to make your reservation. And if you're lucky, maybe you can make a reservation for the table 77, the balcony table for two. Razor, maybe one day you and I will go there. Have the
nice
table
romantic for dinner.
Yes, exactly. Or we'll give it to Aaron and Victoria.
Yeah,
and we'll hang at the bar.
That'll be more likely.
We'll let them enjoy it. It is a cool table, though. You can go there and say hi to Chef Rich. And maybe one night you'll see Ray Bork there as well. And if you go there, speaking of the Ray Bork, ask for the Ray Bork special, the veal chop parm, or you can have it. They do their veal chops in so many different ways. Get get the meatballs. The homemade meatballs are delectable. Or get one of their craft beverages, their martinis, the espresso ones are awesome. Victoria loves those. I can't drink those because I'd be up for like 9 hours if I drank one of those. It's like dessert, but Victoria loves them. And, you know, usually it's a good night.
They're deadly, those things.
They are deadly. Yeah. If Victoria has one or two, it's a good night for me usually. So I like those. I'm all right with that. But go to TrescaNorthEnd.com. And make a reservation there. And it's a fun place on Hanover Street in the North End. You will love it. Absolutely love it. All right. Speaking of loving it, loved having Hampus Lindholm back in the lineup. I don't normally do this, Razor, but, you know, there are some people that are talking about how he's local radio, that he's soft because of the hit. And well, good. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, you just saw the first time I've ever seen an eye roll from Razor, and I absolutely love it. I love it. I but not only that, you know, and there's another guy, he's not that good. And the only reason I know this, and I actually don't get to listen to sports radio an awful lot, but I happened to be in my car and I heard it. Is it even worth trying to explain to people that, except for crushing people, and it's not like he doesn't be physical, but he's not a bone crusher, that Hampus Lindholm does a lot of other things? Or should I just move on from that?
No, we move on. People, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, it's crazy. Crazy. It's so hypocritical. It's so two-sided. One second they're talking about needing more skill and speed from the Bruins. The next they're talking about wanting to go back to the 1970s and needing guys who beat people up. Like they don't know what they want or how they want it. And Hampus is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I'm really good. Hampus Lindholm in the first period played over 8:39, I believe it was, more than anybody on both teams. For the night, he ends up at 24-46 on 33 shifts. He had a shot on net, a couple of other attempts.
There was a couple careless plays, and I'm okay with it, but there was a couple closer calls in the neutral zone coming off of his stick. I will say that, and I love him.
Well, shit's going to happen.
It is. It's just like coming back in the lineup, there's a couple close ones where you're like, whoa. He's playing on the edge with that one.
But here's the thing with him. I talked to some people with Anaheim and other people that in the Western Conference that know Hampus real well, and they love him. And they say he's great. And, you know, they said he will. The only issue with him is that he will every once in a while try and do too much.
Yeah.
He'll get to that confidence level where he'll do a little too much, perhaps especially, you know, with the puck in the O zone. You're talking neutral zone. Maybe that's just a result of it. But I'll take that from a guy who's 6'4", 215 or 220 pounds that can play 27, 28 minutes a night if I need him to.
Yeah.
And compliments my other big horse in the back end real well. I'll live with that a little bit.
No question.
But he had three zone entries tonight, Razor, that were tremendous, that led to legit goal scoring chances. So
yeah, absolutely. He made a difference. Huge difference. And he's only going to make more of a difference in game seven.
Yeah, he should.
But again, the horses, the game changers, the difference makers, the guys who can break games. That's who you want that's who you need in these elimination games.
Yeah.
You really do.
Well, you need him. You also need a guy like Derek Forbert, who continues to be an absolute shining light on the PK. I know that Svechnikov scored a PK goal later in the game, but Forbert, who ended up playing 1957. So lately he's been touching that 20-minute mark regularly because of all the PK time. Played 646 shorthanded. Carlo, by the way, played 701 shorthanded in a total of 21 minutes. But Forbert again with a couple of big blocks. He had three in the game, a couple of big plays too. And by the way, even though the Bruins were 48% of the faceoffs, 26 wins, 28 losses, they had a hard time, bud, on the PK. They had a real hard time on the PK. At one point, they had lost 5 of 6 early on. They were constantly staying in their own zone. And while the PK killed off things, that makes you, if you keep losing those face-offs, that's an extra usually 15 seconds guarantee for sure that you're in your own zone.
It was. And listen, Carolina hit two posts on those. They had two or three wide open nets where they just kind of misfired and had a block shot, whatever it was. So, yeah, the Bruins were certainly playing with fire. They got away with it because road team just can't win in the series up until now. Yeah, I mean, Forbert, we're going to be doing this show next January, and one of us is going to start like getting on Forbert about something, and the other one of us has to say, no, just move on. Say, just like we did with Lindholm, because that's what this – I mean, he just made – all his three-year deal has been made in the last six games. What he's done, what he is, what he can do in these kind of games has been proven, and massive, you know, just a what a wonderful series him and Clifton have had. And
they have been great. At times they've been better than the second pair. They have been easily, the Bruins second pair.
Easily.
And I say this again with all due respect. I'm not sure that's a great thing. That doesn't mean that I don't think that they have both played beautifully, because they have. Clifton has been everything you could ask of him. Derek Forbert has been everything you can ask for him. You need more though out of that second pair. You do. You need more out of them. And these guys have done their gig. Some other numbers from Derek Forbert. I said three blocks. He also had three takeaways. I loved one in the second period on that PK razor. After it was a 5-on-3, there was a 5-on-4. He helped seal the wall, stole the puck, helped shoot it down the ice. It was outstanding. And he also, I said, had three block shots. I did like Carlo's game.
Yeah,
and this one, I gotta say, I like Charlie Coyle's game, despite the fact that he was 1-for-12 in the faceoff circle today. You know why that was? Because he saw a shitload of Jordan Staal.
Yeah.
I've said it like 500 times in this series already. I gotta tell you something, man. Jordan Staal, I could easily name them as their MVP of this series. I could, with how good he's been.
Yeah, I think it's also an indictment on everyone else on the team.
Maybe
Aho, Teravainen, those guys are doing nothing. They're doing
Teravainen had a good game last game. He had three assists. Okay, but I'm with you in the big games. Aho, Teravainen, no. Svechnikov, no. But
Trocheck, no. He's getting empty netters. These guys. Imagine what we'd be saying about them.
As the game went on, I didn't even notice D'Angelo much as the game. First period, I did. I'm going to give the kid credit with regard to his passing on the power play. He is incredibly effective at leading a power play. First period, I thought.
Yeah, that's what he is, right? Like, he's Slavin's caddy at the end of the day. Like, D'Angelo's not pushing the game or pushing the pace. He's going to get his goal on the power play. He's going to get his assist. He's going to move the puck well. And I mean, again, he's moving it to Teravainen, who's getting him open, and he's not shooting it. He's passing it up, or, you know, same with Aho. Like, those guys aren't helping D'Angelo's cause either. So, Slavin's a beast. He's a beast. Right there with Staal.
Yeah. And I would say I do like Brett Pesce a lot, too. He's another beast. But I would say Slavin is their best. No question. Their best defender there. Couple of other things before we wrap up this show. Great to see so many players touching the score sheet. Bruins had six players heading into this game, six forwards that hadn't recorded a point. Now, Chris Wagner did not play in this game because of the return to Trent Frederick. But I think you're down to two or three now that don't have a point. Guys that got points in this game, we mentioned Lazar already. Foligno gets an assist for his hard work. He had three hits in the game. Who was the other one? Two assists. He had two assists. Yeah. And he goes from being from sat last game for a full period to playing 15 minutes of ice time and having five shot attempts and going 3-for-6 in the faceoff circle. So Tomáš Nosek with a real good game. All right, let's talk about one other guy, Jeremy Swayman. Because from one number one to another number one, he had never started four games in a row in his very short NHL career. This was his fourth consecutive start. He is going to go for five in a row unless something crazy happens. I was impressed by his composure. I was. I'm not saying that surprised. I'm saying his puck touches were minimal, but they were more or less very good. He didn't try and overdo it. I do agree with you, as you said earlier, about he didn't have anything. He got lucky on that one he couldn't cover that got called back by the official. But otherwise, I mean, there were some he didn't have to steal the game, but he made the proverbial save when they needed it most.
Yeah, yeah, he was fine. I mean, yeah, he's got to win game seven now. He's got to find a way. You know, it was an easy game. There was nothing, you know, the Natchez, the breakaway, but that was an easy breakaway save. Like, Natchez didn't give him anything. He got lucky on the one that came off the right off the goal line, like that was wide open.
Yeah.
He missed a wide open net off the post. So yeah, it was a big game. He didn't give up the bad slaving goal like he did in game five. So that was good. But but Ronta was still better. You know, if you're doing goalie thing, Ronta was great. You know, he didn't have to, you know, Sway didn't have to make any of those saves, but he got the win. So that's all that matters. It's all that matters at this time of year.
Right.
He's going to have to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina. You know, it's not like he's like Jake Oettinger at this point, where it's like win or lose, then he's dismissed at this point. He's still got to find a way to win on the road, because the three home games have been much, much easier from the Bruins' point of view.
No question about it. So what do the Bruins need to do to win on the road?
They need to score first. They need to bear
down. I'm with you.
They need to find that way of getting one in just to give them some hope and put a little doubt in Carolina. Because I, you know, as much as Carolina's down, I think they're probably now waking up tomorrow saying, we're at home. We don't lose at home. We haven't lost at home in a long time, and we're going to win this game. So you either have to extend for an extremely long period of time. Like, even today, the longer that game goes 0-0, the longer I'm thinking, geez, Carolina's going to pull this out.
Absolutely.
So the Bruins have to put that, you know, if they're not going to score first, if they're not going to score early in the game, they at least have to extend it 0-0 as far as possible.
Absolutely. After the first period, bud, like, I can't tell you it was the greatest feeling in the world in the booth. You know what I mean, man? Like,
Bruins, it really feels like no one's coming from behind in this series.
Right.
It really feels.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the buildup of the home crowd. You know what I mean? Like, once a team gets up, it's just like all the intensity, the factor. And PNC is a raucous place. TD Garden was a raucous place. I'll tell you, I'm going to say this too, no shit penalties. And I don't mean no shit penalties just on the Bruins. I also mean from the officials, you know, no shit penalties. Like let them freaking play. Yeah. Let him play. None of these, you know, again, it's not even worth going through the one or two that were like, oh, come on, that isn't a call. Don't make that one. But because I'm tired of it almost. But would you think any lineup changes at all? Would you consider?
Would he put Wagner in for Frederick on the third line?
But then that means
the only one I was thinking of.
Then you're moving Wagner to his offside.
Yeah.
I
just think after that penalty, because again, that's on Frederick again, getting his stick in there. That's like the typical. If they had a scored on that.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't a couple other. You know, Freddie was fine, but I thought it was because
I thought he was nervous.
The other two guys were really good tonight. Smitty was good. He was skating better. He was going through more.
That's the only
thought I had. And I get he's on his offside, the whole thing. But do you put Wagner back in for what he brings on the road? That was my only thought. Otherwise, you can't touch anything.
You're not going to go 11-7. I mean, the Bruins just haven't done it, so you're not going to do it.
If you're
going to
ever do it, it was tonight, and they're not doing it now.
Right. So I'm with
you. He already pulled the Band-Aid off, made the tough decision on Grizz. That's going to stay that way.
Yeah, it has to. And we know that Grizz has been battling upper body injury. You know what I mean? He's been battling through things all year. We know that. And I'm going to guess that if I had to guess, Razor, it's probably going to be a long summer, so to speak, for a guy like Grizz. You know what I mean? Having to get stuff done and get recovered.
That's for sure.
Golfing is going to be probably an afterthought. So anyway, I don't think either, but I'm just curious. I wonder about Carolina. I don't know how much they have to do. I mean, you know, they with Martinik, now he was skating today. Could they bring him back in? And for a guy like Stepan, maybe if his ankle, I think it's an ankle or knee, is all right. But I don't see them changing. They're going to stay with Antti Raanta.
And their fourth line was as good as their third line tonight, right? Like, their fourth line was actually pretty. They had some good chances if anybody had chances. So,
All right. Well, that'll be interesting to see if anything comes up from it. I'm going to guess it won't happen. I'm quickly checking to see if I've gotten an email yet from the NHL saying start times for Saturday's game. I haven't just yet. I can tell you as we sit and record this, it looks like St. Louis is going to take it from Minnesota. All the moves that Billy Guerin and the Minnesota Wild made, and they are going to lose that series. Holy smokes. I'm telling you what, the Nick Deslauriers watch is on for me already because I think if he had gone far in the cup there, he might have stayed there. Go out and get that guy. We'll see. Again, the hunch is this, Razor. I would imagine Toronto and Tampa will be a 7 or an 8 o'clock start for hockey night in Canada on Saturday night.
Well, you know what they're going to wait on to see if Edmonton-LA plays. That's
well, but even if Edmonton-LA plays,
they're not going to go 8-10, though, because they're not going to go two Canadian teams on top of each other.
Right. They would go 7-10 then. That's what they would do. They would do a 7-10 o'clock game, and so the Bruins would be at 4. That's my guess. They'd be at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, an afternoon game.
That's what it'll be. I'm almost – it's right now
– I wasn't even thinking afternoon. Whoa, yeah, that changes. That's such a Bruins advantage if it goes afternoon.
Yeah. Well, right
huge
now
– huge advantage, again, Bruins.
Right now, as we, again, sit and record this episode, it's 2-1 Edmonton, the end of the second period. If Edmonton wins, then you've got a game 7 in Edmonton. That would be a 10 o'clock game. Yeah. You would have a 7 o'clock start in Toronto, yeah, and the Bruins would either be 3 – well, they could be as early as 12:30, which I would hate that to be that way for a game 7. My guess is it would be a 3 or a 4 o'clock game, my hope at least. That's what that would be. But we won't know. We will know on Friday. We can't control it, so we'll get off of it. And that's going to wrap this Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor up, presented by Berkshire Bank. And also by Tresca North End, Bay State Brewing, and Fazenda Coffee. Thank you to all of them for making this possible. Razor, go back to sleep. Yeah. Have a great Friday. Work hard. I'm going to take care of some other business on this end too. I'm going to have a delicious cup or two of coffee. And I hope everybody out there enjoys their coffee as well. Bruins win 5-2. Sets up game 7 for Saturday.